Monster Movie Media presents.
Welcome to episode 22 of the Creepy Kingdom podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II, and I am joined by my co-host for this episode, Annie from Annie and Danny's Fast Pass podcast. Hello, Annie.
Hello.
Wow, that's very, very creepy there.
I tried.
Yeah, that's a good job. So how you doing, Annie?
Oh, I'm doing very well, James. It's honest.
That's great.
Good, I know.
So
what do people come for?
Yeah, that is exactly what they showed up for.
Exactly.
And we're doing something a little different. Usually I introduce the main topic of the show, and then I'll close out the show by myself, but I'm taking Annie along for the ride.
Yeah. Just to torment me.
She is a frequent contributor of Creepy Kingdom. So coming up on this episode, we are continuing our adventures through figuring out what is the creepiest attraction at a Walt Disney World park or at a Disneyland resort park. We're kind of keeping it in the United States. So yeah, we're going to continue. And we've decided that we are going to start by going through all of the 3D attractions. The last time you were on, we did It's Tough to Be a Bug.
Or It's Tough to Be a Human at a Bug Show.
Right, as
is
we...
Is that it?
Yes, the one we renamed.
That's good stuff.
Yep, that was excellent.
Go listen to that if you haven't listened to it. I know you have time.
Yeah,
you're already listening to this now. You have time.
Well, listen to it. If you haven't listened to that yet, listen to this one first and then go back to it. We got crazy downloads in Tennessee for that episode. So a lot, you know, either It's Tough to Be a Bug or you have a lot of Tennessee fans.
I think that maybe that was like Vanellope.
Who?
You know what I'm saying? Vanellope.
Von Swedes from Wreck-It Ralph?
Yes, and she is a... What is she?
She's a glitch.
Shit, yes.
Oh, I got you. You think it's a glitch. All right.
Right, probably.
Yeah, that was a good... Yeah, yeah. All right, well, whatever. So, moving on. We are going to continue. Man, that was a long setup for a great joke.
That's how I do.
So, coming up in this episode, we are going to talk about the creepiest parts of Captain EO.
Oh.
And let me tell you something. This lady over here, I have never seen her more excited to do anything in her entire life.
Well, because originally we were going to do Bambi.
Yeah, and we're still going to do Bambi, by the way. I don't know what your beef with Bambi is.
Well, I don't have a beef. I guess I have a venison.
Wow. So, without any further ado, let's begin.
The cosmos, a universe of good and evil, where a small group struggles to bring freedom to the countless worlds of despair. A ragtag band, led by the infamous Captain EO.
All right, it's time once again for us to figure out what is the creepiest attraction at a Disney park. You already know I'm here with Annie from that wonderful introduction. And you already know we're going to talk about Captain EO. Now, obviously, as we always say at the beginning of these segments, if you are unfamiliar, you haven't experienced this attraction, we are going to go through it step by step and point out the creepiest parts. So if you don't like spoilers...
Spoiler alert!
Watch out for it. So,
sorry, I meant spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, yes. Keep it creepy. I say it at the end of every show. All right. So, let's give a little synopsis of Captain EO. Captain EO is a 1986 American 3D science fiction film starring Michael Jackson and directed by Francis Ford Coppola.
That is the year I was born.
Oh, you're so young. It's beautiful. It was shown at Disney theme parks from 1986 to 1996 and then returned to Disney parks in 2010 as a tribute after Michael Jackson's death. The film's executive producer, George Lucas... Oh, that was a weird sentence. I was like, I was supposed to bring it back down. The film's executive producer is George Lucas.
Get it together, man.
I know, it's tough. That pretty much sums it up there. You know, that's the gist of it. It's really 4D. They say 3D, but it's 4D because... Because
you get sprayed.
Lots of things happen. You feel things.
You get squirted.
Yep, there's lots of things that happen when you watch this. This wonderful film.
You're right. I remember seeing it on my first trip there when I was a little kid and really liking it.
We'll talk about what we try to remember from the earlier version because there have been some changes to what happens in the theater. The film itself is the same. So let's get into the attraction, huh? You come on in, you have a seat, you're going to go see a movie with Michael Jackson. Well,
I'm gonna move to the end of the row.
What? I mean, why is that?
Because you're supposed to move all the way down.
Yeah, move all the way aside. Every seat is a good seat in the theater.
I do. Well, I mean, I think that's important.
It is. All right.
So anyway,
all the way on. At the end. All the way at the end.
And don't sit there and act like you don't speak English.
All right, I'll move.
Like move down. I can tell you're from America.
All right, I'm going to start now. Movie starting, shut up. The film tells the story of Captain EO, Michael Jackson, and the ragtag crew of his spaceship on a mission to deliver a gift to the Supreme Leader, who lives on a world of rotting, twisted metal and steaming vents.
Don't we all?
Yes, that's true. Captain EO's alien crew consists of a small flying sidekick, Fuzzball, the double-headed navigator and pilot, Edie. Right? Is that his name? Edie? Edie?
I don't know.
And Ode. No. Edie and Odie? Idie and Odie? I don't know.
Maybe Ude.
Right. Robotic security officer, Major Domo, a small robot. I said that weird. Small robot, Minor Domo. And a clumsy elephant-like shipmate named Hooter.
Hooter!
Which I can already guess is your favorite character in the film. You're like, he's not.
I like when Michael goes, Hooter!
Who always manages to upset the crew's missions.
Well, he does. He's pretty obnoxious. Like, I have room to talk, but still.
Yeah, I mean, you and Hooter are running neck and neck right now.
Ouch.
No, yeah. No, Hooter's cool. Come on. You're cool.
Hooter's cool. Come on. Oh, you're cool. Great. Yeah. So, well, guess what? You're the Jim Henson-y labyrinth.
Yeah, you wish. All right. So,
pilot, double-headed guy.
No way.
That's who you are.
Odie and Idie, huh? All right.
Uday.
Sorry. So the film starts, and it seems like very much like Star Wars a little bit there. Even though George Lucas was executive producer, it's like starts in space, and you see a Star Wars-looking-esque spaceship floating there. And then a big rock comes out And then there's this 3D rock that's like spinning right in your face.
I believe that's an asteroid.
Or asteroid. You know, it's a space rock.
My good man. Yes.
And space rock. I'm actually going to start off right out the gate and say that rock, I'm giving it a creepy point because it really comes out of the screen. I really feel like it's invading your personal space. You feel like you're going to get hit by an asteroid. So, yeah, the first scene, they go on the ship, it introduces all the characters. And, it looks like a lot of Jim Henson stuff is going on in there. I don't think is Jim Henson's crew even involved in this?
I do not know. I don't see that.
Yeah, I don't see any information on that.
The two-headed pilot guy looks just like those Dance Magic Dance Labyrinth dudes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's made around the same times, too, so I don't know. Something's fishy.
I know. Stinks.
Yeah, so they have to go deliver this message to the Supreme Leader. Or this gift, I'm sorry. Deliver a gift to the Supreme Leader.
And well, is Michael there yet? Have we gotten to him?
Yeah, we're on the ship. You know, Michael's there. And
well, he comes down and it's pretty cool.
Right, yeah. He does have a grand entrance. You know, it's a few... you get like a minute or so without Michael and then he appears through some kind of... I don't know. What are those things in Star Trek where they go from room to room?
Things? I don't know.
Yes, things.
I don't do Star Trek.
You're out.
The first three lines in my notes, the first line says, poor Hooter. The second line says, MJ with the heart. God love him. And then the third line says, Hooter!
Because Hooter messes up something there.
He messes up everything. Yeah, that's right. Kind of his... I mean, it's kind of what he does, right?
Yeah.
Sir, the ship is in absolutely no condition to go into battle. And I thought we'd begin by cleaning up Hooter's bunk.
Rust, buddy.
Hooter!
So they arrive on this strange planet that looks like it's made of garbage. And they're just
well,
walking
did you around. Did you talk about the scary commander face yet? That was kind of creepy.
I didn't give it a creepy point. Yeah, he got his mission from... It was like a, it was a transported message. It was kind of like a computer screen. You thought he was creepy?
Well, kind of. I mean, he was like a floating...
It was a hologram.
80s head.
I mean, it was kind of like, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope kind of hologram. You know, it was kind of rip off of that, you know.
I don't know. It creeped me out more, but I'll, concession.
No, were you creeped out?
It's fine. I don't think it was creepy enough to argue it.
All right, fine.
it just was, I mean, it was kind of creepy for the record to me.
Okay.
JML.
JML.
JMO.
What are these acronyms here saying?
Pin's just my opinion.
Oh, sorry, Jay, just my opinion.
I just said it with my like weird surfer accent first time.
You said oh.
JMA.
He said L. I was like, what?
Yeah, that's horrible. Hooter!
Yeah. Every time you mess up, we're going to yell Hooter. So, yeah, they get off the... they're exploring the planet. It's a planet of trash. It's not too inviting looking. And then they walk by, and then this little trash creature pops his head out and growls. And that's kind of like the real first sign here of like, what the hell is this movie? You know, it's already kind of weird and kooky, but you're like, oh, it's a Star Wars ripoff, you know, because I mean, I hate to keep saying that, but I mean, it's really... It's Michael Jackson's Star Wars. I mean, you know, when you look at like weird space creatures and he's the captain, you know, of the ship, he's kind of like this cross between Han Solo and Luke Skywalker, you know, like.
No, he's totally different. His energy is totally different than
Well,
hers.
In the first scene I'm talking about. Like, you know, I don't know.
Still, he's just got this... Okay, I'm totally gonna fangirl for Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Because he's so, like, isn't his vibe just so good throughout this whole video? I mean, really, he's always just like, I'm gonna sing, oh! And then everything's better.
Well, we didn't get there. We didn't get to the singing yet.
All right.
Don't jump the gun.
Oh!
Nice transition cue. So I'll finish reading what it says here. Upon arriving on the planet, the crew is captured by the henchmen of the Supreme Leader. So I gave that a next creepy point when all of a sudden these trash creatures emerge and have little stabs pointed at them, and they're obviously trapped, and you know it's not good, you know.
Oh yeah.
So they bring the crew to the Supreme Leader, which the Supreme Leader looks amazing.
She's like, who is she?
She is somebody. I'll get into who she is. Or maybe I should just say it right now. I don't care. The Supreme Leader is played by the goddess of the earth, Angelica Houston.
I knew it. I knew she was somebody. I love her as Morticia Adams, yes, in the Adams Family. That's
exactly what I'm talking about there. Her as Morticia Adams gives me goosebumps.
So good.
She is. I adore Angelica Houston. She is an amazing woman.
And yes.
The perfect type person to play this role, you know?
Agreed. Agreed.
But she kind of looks like she has like tentacles that she's hanging from the ceiling that are attached to her. She kind of looks like a crazy alien spider hybrid.
Like a mechanical spider.
Yeah, it's
with like tubes.
She looks so creepy. So cool.
It's creepy. Yes. That's creepy, right?
Yeah, no, it definitely is creepy. I gave right. That's a creepy point right there.
Silence. Infidel.
Infidel?
You infect my world with your presence. Turn the others into trash cans.
See you later, trash cans.
And for him, 100 years of torture in my deepest dungeon.
But I actually kind of gave this whole beginning part one creepy point. I thought it was kind of cheating to keep going bit by bit, because what ends up happening is, you know, she doesn't like these strangers in her on her planet. So she orders the crew to be turned into trash cans, and for Captain EO to get 100 years of torture in her deepest dungeon.
She is kinky as hell.
I know, right? Woo! Trash cans.
Yeah.
She likes to play dirty.
Trash can.
I trash love it.
Trash can. Graining on that can.
So yeah, I think this is the
it's
part.
Like it's like surfboard.
Oh, you're singing "Drunken Love." I was like, "What are you singing?"
Well, I sounded exactly like Beyonce, right. So there was obviously something wrong with your ears. But anyway, go on. It's your show.
Yeah,
go on.
Yeah, it is. Thanks. Thanks for giving me the captain's seat again.
You're welcome.
Your Highness, my loyal companions and I accept these punishments.
We do?
Of course we do. He's our captain.
Speak for yourself.
We have come here uninvited and unannounced.
So, then we both admit to your stupidity.
You know, the orders get thrown out, and Michael's like, all right, well, we accept your punishment. But we've come here to give you a gift.
But he has a really good attitude.
Yeah, he's that's real positive point. About the 100 years of torture that was just assigned to him.
I don't know.
Yeah, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't sass back at all, you know?
I didn't know. And I don't know. When you put it that way, it doesn't seem like such a good thing. But it did at the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the reaction you expect when someone throws out 100 years of torture in a deepest dungeon.
But, well, but you know, it's gonna pay off in the end.
Right. Well, you hope. Jeez. You know, actually,
spoiler alert. There's a happy ending.
Yeah, that would make this film even better if, like, from there, everyone, it's just a 100 time lapse of 100 years
despair.
Of torture. Yeah. He's chained up, not eating, no food. Whipped, electroshocked.
they take the kids out crying just as much as Tip to be a bug.
Right.
But it's like way more psychological.
Oh, yeah. Well, every time he gets shocked, the seats shake. Every time the whip goes, a wind flashes.
And then they can throw acid on it.
Then the water will go on you. Oh, my God. So, yeah, that's what you think is going to happen based on his attitude.
Good stuff. That was good quality stuff right there.
So, anyway. Yeah, so, well, that doesn't happen. What he says, you know, we accept it, but we have a gift to bring you. So, they're like, oh. So, all the two robots, they start moving and doing weird things. And at this point, the film really starts to show its age as it goes through the worst stop motion animation on Earth.
Well, not that bad.
It's pretty bad. I mean,
just not that good.
I mean, mind you, there's no CG in this, so it's all. I mean, there's obviously green screens in there, but there's no CG. So, I mean, you know, they did like weird stop motion. But they're, you know, they're. You see the all the crew trying to set up instruments, and they're like, "Oh, we almost got it!" And then as Hooter runs over to his instrument, he trips over Eo's cape and breaks it, stopping the music.
Hooter!
The spell is broken, and the Supreme Leader orders the guards to capture Captain Eo and his crew. So right away, like, it was like, "Oh, this is going to be positive," and then just right away, it gets real dark right again because they're like, you know, the troops almost kill them when the music stops. You know. It's kind of scary.
I was trying to reference my notes, but they're really very worthless.
It just says Hooter real big a bunch of times.
It was the first page, but the second page says Supreme Leader Echo Creepy Wires. MJ is so kind. Aw, yeah.
I really like it seems like the entries of a psychotic murderer, you know, like a diary. Just
there it is.
Oh yeah,
I can see it. It's real. Oh yeah.
Wow, those are good notes.
But I watched it like a bunch of times.
I know,
like you're infinity of times.
I know. I got you. So, I think they finally get it together. And the music starts, and at this point, this turns into a music video where they sing the song, "We Are Here to Change the World," which pretty much keeps going throughout the remainder of this until the end. So at this point, we kind of shift on to being a music video. So continuing with the story, Hooter manages to repair his instrument, sends out a blast of music, providing Eo with the power to throw off the guards. He uses his power to transform the dark, hulking guards into agile dancers who fall into step behind him for a dance number. It sounds so goofy when you read it. As Eo presses forward towards the Supreme Leader.
It's awesome, though.
Yep. She unleashes so cool. The Whip Warriors. So you have about like a good minute or 2 minutes of good, happy dance singing time. But the Supreme Leader is trying to fight this happy music. And so
it's because she's in a bad mood.
Yeah, I know. She woke up on the wrong side of the spider web or whatever.
So she
unleashes the wrong side of the ceiling. She unleashes the Whip Warriors, two cybernetic defenders, each with a whip that could deflect Eo's powers. So
whips are so lame.
These whips are cool. So I wrote my notes like the trash robots start whipping. So yeah, I gave another creep up for the trash robots whipping because that was kind of like, whoa, a little scary, huh?
I guess. Were you scared? I don't think it was creepy though.
I gave it a creepy point. I don't know. Every time the whips break out, it gets a little intense. I don't know.
I honestly, not to like jump the gun or anything here, but I honestly didn't find any creepy things at all in this. Mostly because MJ was so like poppy.
Yeah. Well, those things that I mentioned so far were all creepy.
Well, I know,
especially the Supreme Leader.
Well, that was creepy. I'm saying not on the level of the bug. Have to be human in a bug show, whatever.
Right, but this it's creepy, Annie. I'm not going to argue.
But their dancing is so good, and his outfit is so good.
Yeah, but when the robot monsters, trash monsters, whatever, come out, start whipping, the dancing stops, and they look like they're about to kill them, Annie. It was menacing. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, you're the one that watched it 3 times.
Well, I know. I just, Michael Jackson's positive energy overwhelmed me.
Right, apparently. So all the others run away, leaving Captain EO to fight the Whip Warriors alone.
In his cool outfit.
EO is trapped
with his positive attitude.
Right. Well, not only that, the Whips have electricity in them. And he starts trying to fight them, but there's one point where they get him. The Whips touch him, and when he loses power, the electricity goes from blue to green.
That's what I was going to say. It was that, animated, brightly colored thing.
Now, it goes back to what I mentioned to you on the Dumbo show, if you recall, that I've noticed that whenever Disney wants to say something's bad, they make it green.
Psychedelic.
And it happened here again. I keep seeing it brought up. I saw it many times in the wonderful film Maleficent, which I saw earlier today, which we'll be reviewing in the future. And I see it there. I had to point it out. When something bad's going to happen, there's green. The apple turns green. When Dumbo gets drunk, it's green. Now the green electricity was hurting MJ. Fuzzball drops his instrument and speedily flies over to tie the two whips together, causing the Whip Warriors to be thrown off balance, giving EO an opportunity to transform them as well. With no further obstacles, EO uses his power to transform the remaining four henchmen, not yet unleashed, as they transformed, the transformed Whip Warriors and the other dancers, press forward and dance before EO transforms the Supreme Leader into a beautiful woman, her lair into a peaceful Greek temple, and the planet into a paradise.
And then Stan Lee comes out and he's like, I'm Stan Lee.
Yeah, Stan Lee didn't make it in this one. So I do want to say that now the Supreme Leader is now quote-unquote beautiful. And yes, she was beautiful, but I think the Supreme Leader was pretty hot, with the spider-like tentacles.
Are we to believe that Angelica Houston, is it different than her or is it her?
It's her on both ones. So she's hot as a spider lady. She's hot as a Greek goddess. She's hot as Morticia Adams. The woman can do no wrong.
I agree with that.
She's an amazing actress. I love Angelica Houston. I don't know how many times I could say this on the show. She is a force to be reckoned with. So the film goes on, and the song changes to another song, Another Part of Me, which I believe is a way better song than We Are Here to Change the World. I think Another Part of Me is a pretty, pretty awesome song. I get why they had to do We Are Here to Change the World, because they literally were changing the trash planet into happy.
I think they're both fantastic numbers. I don't know. I really like Michael Jackson. So
apparently,
I'm so glad it's going to be there next time that I go, because I didn't think that I would get a chance to see it again.
Well, you never know. You never know what's going to happen between now and
what is that supposed to mean?
I'm just saying, you don't know when they're going to take it away. That's all I'm saying. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Why you gotta? I'm trying to channel the positivity of Michael Jackson.
Okay, good. So moving
You're
on.
You're ruining it with your Jermaine vibes.
So moving on. And that's the end. And that's a 17-minute film. And throughout the film, if you saw this prior to during its first run, you saw lasers and smoke. No, fog. And I think that was really...
And you got shanked in the back.
No, there was none of that.
No.
Oh, the star field is extended into the theater, which I think that's still in it, actually. Which there'd be like lights. There's a bunch of lights in the theater that go on. So when they're in space, was that still
maybe.
In it?
I think in Disneyland that the floor like vibrates too.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, now let's talk.
Just saying.
Let's get down nitty gritty of this. Let's talk about how we feel about this attraction. Let me tell you my experiences. So, right. I saw it in Disneyland during its first run, probably in 1987. And
aww.
I remember.
Were you one?
No, you were one. I was 10. And, and it was.
I'm sorry.
It was. I think it was before Star Tours opened up. So.
Oh God.
Yeah, I mean, Star Tours opened up shortly thereafter, but this was pretty exciting. I would say, at that point in my life, I was still in the realm of being what I would consider to be a Michael Jackson fan. You know, I don't necessarily consider that right now, but you know, I
am way more now than I ever was.
You know, I liked him when I was. I mean, I grew up doing, you know, during Thriller, so that was exciting. That was funny.
I'll never forget the night that he died. I was working and I had to work late. Me and my coworker, I had one of his greatest hit CDs in my car, and I went and got it and put it on, played it in the shop the whole night.
Do you know where I was?
On the where day
that Michael Jackson died? I was at Walt Disney World. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
I thought about that when I heard they're bringing EO back. I was like, wow, that was weird. But I remember the lasers.
Where were you the night that Michael Jackson died?
I mean, I don't
listeners.
Get to it. I know. Who cares? But I just thought it was weird that I was actually at Walt Disney World when that happened.
Send us your story.
Yes, please don't. So,
no, I want to hear that.
Well, send it to her.
I mean it. That's me. At DJ Phobe. At CH. Damn it. No, it's not. DJ PHM.
Listen, I'm telling you my thoughts of Captain EO. I'll let you speak in a minute.
Okay.
Anyways, I have a very fond memory of seeing this film with my entire family, including my father. One of the very few times that my father went to Disneyland. He's not really a theme park kind of person. And the first line of this film that Michael Jackson speaks is he goes,
"We're going in."
It was kind of this inside joke between me and my dad for years where he would just randomly say to me, "We're going in." So I have a lot of fond memories based on that. And I remember that "We're going in" and the lasers and the dance number. That's all I really remember about from when I was young. So my last show to Walt Disney World, I was like, oh, I got to go check out Captain EO since they brought it back. That'd be cool. I really didn't remember too much about it. And it was like a sleeper hit for me. I was like, this is so awesome. This is way more awesome than I remember. I've already said my piece about Angelica Houston. I was really excited about that. And it was actually a lot creepier than I remembered. You know, I was like, this is actually kind of creepy. It was also like, It was pretty loud in there, too. But I love the explosions and no more lasers. I really do miss the lasers for some reason. Because they put it in the same theater where Honey, I Shrunk the Audience was in, and they didn't put new stuff in. I don't know if we're going to go through extinct attractions on the show. I haven't decided, but I will say that Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, generally when it gets brought up, people hate on it pretty hard. And
we should do that coupled with Magic Journeys.
Well, if we do extinct ones, we can. But I
well, that's
say,
what I'm like, saying.
Right. But I just want to put this out there on a public forum that I enjoyed Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. So I don't know why people hate on it so much. It was pretty much like the predecessor to It's Tough to Be a Pug. You know, like it was.
Yeah, it was.
The giant snake. Let's stay on focus with Captain EO. Why don't you tell me? In your own words, your thoughts on Captain EO.
I don't know. The whole time that I watch it, I'm just overwhelmed with how much I love Michael Jackson. Like, I just... really, I love him. Like,
all right, love him. Love him up, man.
Well, there's always these shots of him with his big smile and stuff, and then he dances and sings. It's good. I don't know. It's good. I like Michael Jackson, all right?
All right. That's fine. I'm not.
I don't know. That was my prevailing thought throughout, was like, man, I really like Michael Jackson.
I see where you're coming from. I mean, he definitely, it's definitely one of his better things that he's done. You know, I will say that. I like when he does long form videos like this, like the long form version of Smooth Criminal, the Moonwalker video.
See, I can't get into Smooth Criminal because it's my name.
It's your Annie. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Hey, Annie. Would you like to know some creepy trivia?
I would love to know some creepy trivia.
All right, let me tell you.
Yeah.
At a cost of $1 million per minute of film, this was, minute for minute, the most expensive motion picture of all time.
Basically, the most expensive motion picture of all time?
What they're saying is, based per minute, like per minute on screen, it was the most expensive. Total, it cost $17 million to make. But most films don't cost $1 million a minute. That's basically what it's saying. When this film did.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of a twist on twisting words around, but whatever.
No wonder Disney wants to keep stretching their dollar on it.
Yeah, they want to keep it going.
Like, do you have any idea how much we paid for this thing?
$17 million.
Deal with it.
So Steven Spielberg was originally going to direct, but he had to cancel because of a busy schedule. So that's why we got Francis Ford Coppola, which, I mean, I'm sure Steven Spielberg would have been awesome because everything he does is awesome. But he obviously...
What did he go to do?
I don't have the information on that. 86, he was probably making one of the greatest films of all time. No, E.T. was already out. He was probably working on Back to the Future, in all honesty, because that was around the time Back to the Future came out. So that's fine. I'll take Back to the Future over Captain EO. Sorry. But and particularly Back to the Future Part 2, which is one of my all-time favorite movies. But also, Steven Spielberg has a very tight history working with Universal. So I kind of like the playful rivalry between Steven Spielberg and George Lucas when it comes to theme park attractions. So I'm kind of glad that Steven didn't get involved with Disney. I kind of like having it. Well, he did with Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Well, that's a whole other story. I think that's the only time Steven Spielberg did anything with Disney, as far as I can. I don't know. And another one of my favorite movies. I don't know. The last piece of creepy trivia is it was Francis Ford Coppola himself who came up with the title's character's name. Captain EO was derived from Eos, the goddess of dawn from myth from Greek mythology.
From Greek mythology. You're Russian reading Greek mythology.
Myth.
I am Kermit.
So we have a total of 7 creepy points.
Not that creepy.
No,
I really don't think it's that creepy.
It's not that creepy, but there's creepy things in it, which is...
Well, what did...
I've said what they were. Were you not listening to this entire
sentence? No, I didn't finish my sentence.
I'm sorry,
I was going to say, like, Tough TV A Bug had, what, 13?
Yeah, something like that. So, Tough TV A Bug, so far, out of the two, is far in the lead.
Oh, yeah. That's my point.
And this is way longer, too.
Michael Jackson's vibe is a high quality vibe. That's all I'm saying.
Yep, that's true. So, I think that's going to do it for this, Annie. Unless you got something else to say about Captain EO.
Just, good vibes. I want to put them out. Let's put them out. Hey, put out good vibes.
That will do it on Captain EO. Before we get out of here, We had a contest.
Uh-oh.
Where you, the listener...
Me?
Not you. Unless you're listening to this. But you're not eligible. Sorry. I've had a very impromptu contest to put on Instagram and Twitter and our website. Didn't even mention it on the show. It was only up for a few hours. I got my possession 2 limited edition Maleficent pins.
Oh, snap.
And I love you guys so much. I'm saying, hey, guys, would you like some? Then enter a contest. So all I think it was like, I don't even know, 6 hours where you just had to email me and say that you wanted to be entered.
And so exciting, though.
Yeah.
So excited.
This is exciting. And my my lovely co-host here is going to help me pick the 2 winners.
All right. I'm reaching down here. Let's see.
Let's just say, this is how we're going to do it. We received many entries, and they're numbered based on when they came in. 1 being the first one, and so on.
You don't owe people explanation.
Yeah, I want to be fair. It's a contest. So, I'm going to have Annie pick 2 numbers between 1 and 50. And we will reveal the winners live. And if you hear your name, email me back and say, I heard my name. And actually, email back with your address. You don't have to say I heard my name. And so I'll send them to you.
And your phone number, please.
Yeah, and your phone number for Annie. She'll give you a call. Let you know that you won.
Yeah, I'll FaceTime you. That's part of that.
That's part of the prize.
This is a surprise. Okay. I'm reaching down. Let's see. It's 21.
21. 21 is... Robert King. Robert King, you win a Maleficent pen.
Yeah!
So, you have 1 week to get in touch with me, unless it goes to someone else. So, email me back, creepykingdom@gmail.com.
All yours. Right. All right, ready for the second one?
Yep.
All right, let's see. All right, it is 11.
11. Goes to Josh Avery.
Woo, Josh Avery!
I wish I knew. I was going to say, of lovely downtown Detroit. I don't know where he's from.
Beautiful downtown Burbank. Yeah.
Congratulations, you guys. Thank you, everyone else that emailed in. So if
that was fun. I liked picking numbers out.
Yeah.
Let's do that again.
Yeah, next time we have a contest, I'll have you do it.
I did a contest once. I have stuff.
Yeah,
let's do it. Hey, that we could bribe people to come to our meetup that we are teasing.
Oh, that's right. We are having a meetup coming up.
Maybe we'll bring prizes.
Yeah, well, come and get a prize. We are... What did we say so far? We said it's going to be at Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida.
The week of September 22nd.
In the United States. The week of September 22nd.
It's going to be in America.
It's going to be in America. And... We haven't got the date down yet. We haven't got the venue down yet, but
we do have the fun down.
We do have the fun down. We have so much fun down.
We got a whole rundown of the fun down, and we're gonna go get gun down and have fun now.
Right. So there's a tease. Start booking now. Again, we don't have any travel agent sponsors, unless I would get a package together for you. There's the contest winners. It's time to get out of here. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, complaints, requests, whatever you want to say to me, you can just shoot me an email at creepykingdom@gmail.com.
It feels really good just to like let all of your frustrations out at him.
Yeah. You should see the emails that Annie sent me.
just email it to him. Or tweet it at him. And
that's
like,
right. That's the next thing I'm going to say, man. You can reach me on Twitter at Creepy Kingdom. I'm always there.
Unload. He's there. Unload. He's always there. I'm always just there. Unload.
A lot of people use Twitter just to say, hey, promote, look, buy my stuff, read, listen to my thing. No, I'm in it. I'm in the thick of it. I'm tweeting at people. I'm retweeting. I'm favoriting tweets. I am a Twitter tweeter.
He's Twitter painted.
So if you're on Twitter,
totally Twitter
you need to follow me at Creepy Kingdom. Yes. If you tweet about Disney stuff, I will probably follow you back unless you talk about politics or religion. And then I won't.
that's a no-no.
Yeah.
I would prefer that not to.
There was a few people that I followed back that tweeted about Disney stuff, and then they said some things that I didn't want to read. So I'm like, you know, this is my time. I'm just going to unfollow.
Most people I know don't, but they will, like, maybe once, and I'll let it slide, and then it's cool.
Yeah, not even once for
but
me.
Don't make a habit of it.
All right, cool.
Just don't.
Well, that's for Annie, but for me, it's not acceptable.
Anyway, just unload on him on any form of social. You can get on Facebook at Creepy Kingdom and just like write him a whole post.
That's right. We're just on unload. Facebook. We're on Instagram, YouTube.
Oh, Instagram is fun.
Yeah,
I'm loving it.
We're Instagramming it up. We got a YouTube
McDonald's
channel,
style.
Google Plus, Tumblr, Pinterest. But Annie, listen.
Listening.
Do you know of a place where you could find like show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay and fan art pics. I don't want any pics. And links to all of our social media. Do you know of a place where I could find that?
I do.
Really?
I'm going to tell you.
Oh,
you can go to creepykingdom.com.
Oh my God, that's awesome. That's so convenient. Everything I need is right there.
It is so convenient. And there's pictures of both of us if you're into that.
That's, I'm definitely into that.
I know. I mean, I don't know who wouldn't be.
So, Annie, if I wanted to listen to your podcast, how would I do it?
You would search Annie and Danny's Fast Pass Podcast on iTunes or Stitcher.
Nice.
Or you can also find a link to it if you go on Twitter at Fast Pass Podcast. You know, on iTunes you can just search Annie Danny and it will usually come up.
Pop right on up. You can. We're in the iTunes store, Creepy Kingdom, and you can leave us reviews. You know, if they're good, which, you know, if they're 5-star, of course they're good. I'm going to read them on the show. So, you know, you can get your thoughts. Anything you want to say. You could just say this show is good, but let me tell you how I feel about minerals. And then you could go off about minerals, and I'll read it on the show.
Okay.
I'll definitely read it on the show. And we're also on Stitcher, too, which is a application for your smart telephone that streams podcasts directly to them. No downloading required. Just visit Stitcher.com.
You can't. I honestly can't imagine listening to me for an hour and then being like, yes, I'd like another hour of that. But you can do it. I mean, you can listen to me for hours upon hours. That's what you do.
Yes, that is what we do.
More power to you if you do.
More proud of you. Well, Annie, this has been incredible. You know, we did Captain EO.
Yeah.
Well, until next time.
Keep it creepy.
I have a girl now. It's midnight. Pleasant dreams.